Giant 96 Real Radio. Today is Tuesday, January the 27th. That means that it is Mozart's birthday. We've got a special treat for you. And by the way, thank you to Mighty Quinn Management for this great idea for an interview, plus setting it up. We'll be speaking with Steve Grant, the founder of Barack. And oh my gosh, this is going to be a special treat for you. Steve, I'd like to ask you just to sort of get our listeners, get a little bit of wrap around your history. Tell us where you're from.
Hometown. Well, we live up in the north of England near a place called York.
Okay.
Which is a great old city. And we like it up there. It's about 200 miles from London.
How old is it?
What, York?
Uh-huh.
A couple of thousand years old. That's older than me.
That's funny.
Yeah. I was born about 3 miles away from where I'm sitting now, which is in the east end of London. And I'm what you call a Cockney. I don't know if you've heard of that term.
No, I haven't.
Right. It doesn't mean anything bad. It's just like you're born within the sound of Bow Bells in London. And I'm a posh Cockney. Which is quite nice to be. So I like being in London. You know, I like London. I feel at home in London. And then we moved up north about 20 years ago because my wife worked on a TV show in England, and it was filmed up north. So we all moved up north about 20 years ago, and we like it there too.
Yeah, I read that somewhere in your bio, and it's a pretty popular TV show, right?
Yes, it was called, well, it's still on, it's called Emmerdale. You know, it's like a Dallas soap type thing. And my wife, Dina, was in it for 18 years and long time.
How did you meet your wife?
We met, in 1983, actually. I came to America with a band called The Animals that your dad would know. And you,
yes,
you
I love them.
Yeah, you know, House of the Rising Sun. Uh-huh. And all that stuff. And they did a world tour, and I was part of the band, and I wrote a couple of songs for their latest album. And we had a great time in America. And after that tour, I worked with Eric Burdon for a while, and then with a guy called Alan Price, who was the keyboard player in The Animals. And my wife then was a singer in the Alan Price band, and that's where we met. And here we are, still together.
That's awesome. Do you have children?
Yeah, 3 kids, 2 from my previous marriage, and one, James, who's 30, Gary, who's 27, and William, who is between Dina and I, he's 21.
And are they in the arts and entertainment too?
Thank God, no. They all play, you know, they're into music and uh-huh. as a hobby. And sometimes that's pretty good to keep it like that, you know?
Yes, yes. Tell me about when you were growing up as far as your musical influences. Like, what's your first memory of music?
The Beatles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. The Beatles are such a major influence on my life and musicality, if you like, influence. And I was fortunate enough in the end to work twice with George Harrison. And that was a dream come true. And that was about 10 years ago. And that was like meeting royalty. It was great. So the Beatles. And then I guess you've heard of The Who.
Oh, yes.
Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend, who I think is one of the greatest rock composers of all time. Great storyteller, brilliant musician, and a bit crazy. And I like the crazy side because I have a little bit of that myself.
Well, crazy is a good thing a lot of times.
Yeah, I think it is. If you know, in a certain little box of your own, yeah, it's good. Oh, that's Jane calling again. Right, okay, I've just had to disconnect Jane for the moment. And so, and Barack, I hope you like what we're doing.
I love it. I've been playing it at the radio station in the background. I've been listening to all your songs, and I've shared your video with a lot of our friends and station employees because I love it.
Oh, thank you. Great. I mean, I can't wait to bring this to you, you know, to the States. It would be awesome.
You know, in your own words, tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, what it is exactly.
Okay, Baroque is a, I'm not going to use the word fusion, right? So I didn't. It's a combination of rock and classical music with a lot of humor. There's some great playing most of the time. There's some great singing. We have four ballet dancers who cross over into contemporary dance. They're great fun. They're all crazy, by the way. A great band. And it's combining classical music and rock music. And it's taking, we only work with the popular tunes from the classical era. And the idea is when we start to play something, you can almost see somebody in the audience saying, I know that, I've heard that before. And it's, and of course the songs are so great, you know, there's, it's just such great music, the popular classical music, and it works really well with rock instruments. And it takes a while to sort it out, but, you know, once we get all the arrangements done, or once I get the arrangements done, it's very exciting, but it's great fun as well.
How did you come up with the idea?
I was watching TV and a commercial came on and it had this tune called the William Tell Overture, which is dun 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 dun. And it was played by a small band. And that's the first time I heard classical music played on what you call like modern instruments, if you like. And I thought, I like that. That's for me. So then I started to experiment with classical tunes on, you know, guitars, pianos, and synthesizers. And that was about 10 years ago.
And now on Giant 96 Real Radio, here's Baroque with William Tell Overture. Return to our featured interview with Baroque on Giant 96. not being a musician, is it hard to play a classical tune that a lot of us are used to hearing on the piano? Is it hard to play it on the guitar and make it sound the same?
It's difficult to find the right arrangement where it sits right for a guitar. Otherwise, you can't just transcribe the notes, you know, that would be played on a violin or a clarinet and just play that on a guitar. You've got to give it a bit of thought to how it sits, you know, when you're kind of jazzing it up or rocking it up. So it takes a while. It takes quite a while. And I don't read music, you see. And so for me, it's quite a long process to do the arrangements. But once you get it right, especially with guys like Vivaldi, have you heard of him?
No.
Right, but he's one of his famous pieces is The Four Seasons, and it's world-renowned. And he was an amazing, as well as being a great composer, he was an amazing violinist. Now, his stuff translates to guitar brilliantly. It's the Beethovens and the Mozarts and Bach. That takes a bit of working out. But Vivaldi's stuff, almost as if it's written for guitar. It's great.
I think it's amazing, like classical music, like Mozart. And I'd like to talk about him because it's Mozart's birthday. That the music is that old, yet we listen to it today and it still moves you. It still makes your blood pressure. It's awesome.
The reason is because it's great. It's quality. It's just amazing music, and it will be there forever, I hope.
You know, one of the songs that I'd like to play for our listeners today is your rendition of the Mozart melody. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you. Right. It starts off with the piano sonata in C major, and then it goes into Eine kleine Nacht music, which is a little night music. Then it goes into an excerpt from an opera called The Magic Flute. And from there, it goes into a thing called Rondo a la Turk. And these are just sort of snippets of some of Mozart's greatest hits, if you like. And then it goes into a thing called Amadeus that's quite modern. And that was by an Austrian guy called Falco. And then it goes back into another snippet of The Magic Flute. And then by then you'll be exhausted. Hi, this is Steve Grant from Baroque, and I have been speaking to Penny Lane. What a great name that is. Amazing. And this is for the birthday boy, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and this is Mozart's medley.
Er war ein Packer und er lebte in der großen Stadt. Das war in Wien, war bei jeder Mäuer alles da. Der hatte Stunden ertrank, doch er liebte alle Frauen. Und jede rief die Kamera für Amadeus. Er war ein Superstar, er war populär. Er war so extraktiv, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Mitopose, war ein Rocky-Doll. Und alles rief die Kamera für Amadeus.
Amadeus, Amadeus! Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus! Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus! Oh, 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 Amadeus! Amadeus, Amadeus! Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus! Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus! Oh, 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 Amadeus!
Es war am 1780 und es war in Wien. Nur Plastic Money anymore, die Banken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war aber jeder Mann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Mann. Er war ein Superstar, er war populär. Er war so extatiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Meteor, war ein Rocky-Doll. Und alles rief, wie kam er an, wie
Amadeus.
Birthday to Mozart from everybody here at Giant 96 Real Radio. And now we return to our featured interview all about Baroque. You got to check it out. I like how you put the rock into the classical, because it's sort of like, you know, we homeschool our children, and it's educational, you know, and especially even like Amadeus, you know, that's, I can remember being in seventh grade and thinking it was the most wonderful song in the world. Actually, I enjoyed it too. When, you know, it's just like, oh, I know that, you know, and it's neat because a lot of the songs, like the William Tell Overture, you recognize it, you know.
Exactly.
And it's neat because you're taking the rock and you're exposing it to maybe a generation of listeners that normal, you know, not that we haven't heard that before. Of course you've heard that, you know, but it's neat to bring it more to light, if that what you're doing. I appreciate that.
And I totally agree with you. I think it is. It is taking the classical music, well-known classical music, to people who wouldn't normally go and listen to classical music at a concert or buy or download a classical CD. But we have found that after people have been to see us, they then go to the real thing, if you like, you know, the original. And I think it opens up their mind to accept the original.
Oh, yes.
They become familiar. You know, they're sort of, they already know the soul of the tune. So it makes it easier to listen to the real thing.
I agree. Yeah. Well, because of you, because of this interview and Jane bringing it to my attention, I actually I watched a documentary on Mozart. You know, it was on Netflix, and I was like, I'm going to watch that before I talk to them.
Yeah, and what a cool guy. You know, how he's portrayed. He's portrayed, I think, maybe a bit crazier than he actually was in real life. I think, have you seen the film Amadeus? I'm not sure if you have.
Not recently, if I have. But tell me about it.
Okay, but that, you know, he was portrayed as, I guess, the pop star of his time, which to a certain extent he was, but he was a bit more calmer in real life than people perceive him to be. But he was a genius, absolute genius. At the age of five, he could fly a plane.
Wow. You know, it's weird that, like, to me, like, I don't know, it's like, I guess, why don't you see people doing that? Like, why? Maybe there is, but like, yeah, you don't see too many Mozarts floating around in today's world, you know?
You don't, do you? No. You don't see them on X Factor.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, I'm not going to go. I know. You know, it's so funny because I sort of, we live in a small town. Shelbyville's a small town. We live in the country, which puts us even more in a small town. And my whole life has really been wrapped around music, you know, and we have cornfields around us, but thanks to the internet. And, but, you know, I'm really a big, you know, I'm so grateful to talk to you today.
It's great to speak to you, too.
Yes, I'm really excited, and it's a big honor. So real quick, tell me about, you know, everybody wants to know about you, you know, working with the animals. You touched on that a little bit. And the House of Rising Sun, it's just, you know, obviously, it's, I have a son that plays music, and we've heard that song a million times.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, in England, House of the Rising Sun has been banned in music shops.
Really?
Yeah, because the guys who sell guitars and things in music shops, when you first start to play the guitar, House of the Rising Sun is usually the first thing that a lot of people learn to play. So you have these guys going into music shops, trying out guitars, and they play House of the Rising Sun. And I think the shop assistants, it drives them crazy.
That's funny. Sort of like Stairway to Heaven and Hotel California.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah,
but House of Rising the Sun's a big one over here too, by the way. But it's such a good song. It's such a good song.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily appropriate when you have a 10-year-old singing it, you know. But
I still do gigs now and again with what's left of the Animals. They've kind of split into three different bands now, like these guys do, you know, from these old bands. And I did a gig with Alan Price a couple of weeks ago, and we're playing House of the Rising Sun, and it's a great song. It just goes on and on. It never dies. Almost classical music.
Right. You know, and that's the thing about it, too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times people will give people a hard time about playing the House of Rising Sun or playing Stairway to Heaven or whatever the song is. You know, there's a big list of them. But the reason why people want to listen to them is because they're good songs. You know?
Well said. That's true.
You know, I mean, you got to, like, I don't know. There's a flip to it. So, but one other thing that I'd like, you know, let's talk about working with Pete Townsend and The Who.
Well, I haven't worked with Pete Townsend. He's my major influence. I haven't worked with him. I've been fortunate to meet him a couple of times. And it was quite terrifying because they say never meet your heroes, don't they? You know, and I did. And couldn't think of anything to say. working with George Harrison was great. I was in a band called The Sweet, which was a big band in the 70s. I was with them for about 16 years. Fantastic band. Work with Susie Quattro. Have you heard of her? She's from America, actually.
Okay.
Chas Chandler, who managed Jimi Hendrix and discovered Jimi Hendrix, he used to be my manager. So, and he became one of my closest friends. Done a lot of stuff with Eric Burdon. a lot of stuff with a lot of people, but Baroque is my baby. That's my passion.
And we're excited about it. When do you think that Baroque will be coming to the US?
I hope, logistically, I hope in 2016. It'll be great. And if we can get over there before, then even better.
Now, if you come close to Indianapolis, you got to stop in and see us here.
Absolutely, Penny Lane. Well, come down Penny Lane. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Have a listen to this. This is by a guy called Gustav Holst, and he wrote some amazing music called The Planet Suite. And this is Jupiter. Enjoy.
Although you're far away from me, we're never far. sacred vow. If it was not for you, then I wouldn't be here now. So for all the things you've done for me and everything still do, there's two words
Planet Suites on Giant 96, A Trip with Penny Lane. Last week, we took you to Memphis, Tennessee for the International Blues Challenge. And of course, today on Mozart's birthday, we are taking you across the seas to London, England. Had a great, great interview with Mr. Steve Grant from Barak. Well, we appreciate you taking a trip with Penny Lane on Giant 96. And again, tell all our listeners, and by the way, happy birthday to Mozart.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday, Mozart.
And tell
You're
us, and tell everybody where they can find you online at
www.barok-show.com.